Bhagavatam Zena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Zena Bhutale Sayam Upakadamayam Vatati Sahapandantikam Mantra Kapasubhista Kripa Sindhu Vaye Vata Patitanam Pabhanebhyo Vaishnavya Namonama. Now we'll see if our miraculous machine will work. Maybe you just have to be in front of it, but now I can't see it. That's the problem. I wonder if I have a little mirror here, like driving a car, to see what's behind you, huh? Maybe we should have it with wheels. Possibly, but maybe. We'll see if it's okay.
Actually, you can use the laptop. Turn the laptop around.
This laptop you can keep here, and that's what it is.
And then I'll be able to see the screen. Ah, systems engineer. Very good idea. Brilliant.
Is that running?
Huh? It's okay. But no one else can look. Only me. You have to look this way. What? No, it's okay. No. Main thing is not the screen. It's a little bit bright. Otherwise, yeah, we're all going to sleep. Because it's late at night.
Okay.
Oh, okay. This is the exciting point. No, I pushed the wrong button. Okay. Let's see if it works. This is the real test, if it works. Yes. Class 4. Now, yes, well, this is a very difficult question to ask, especially an answer, especially if you weren't at the retreat, because we had the first three classes at the retreat. Does anyone remember what we spoke about, those of you who were at the retreat in the third class? Raise your hand. Yes. Yes, what verses did we speak on?
Chapter 10,
texts 8 through 11, which are called the Chatusloki Bhagavad Gita. The whole Bhagavad Gita summarized in 4 verses. Anyone remember anything else? Really cool.
The Lord said that He will give us the buddhi yoga from within.
Yes, intelligence, which is that type of intelligence, is bhakti. Krishna gives that. That is the process of advancement in Krishna consciousness. That Krishna, we act in such a way that Krishna is pleased, and Krishna Himself gives us the advancement by which we can come to Him. Thank you. It is a gift from Krishna. In bhakti, we are dependent on grace, we are dependent on mercy. Ultimately, there is nothing we can do to realize Krishna. We can follow the processes that He recommends, but ultimately, our Krishna conscious fate is in His hands. Now, what to do that makes Krishna inclined to give us mercy? That is the meditation of a devotee, of a Vaishnava. How can I make Krishna? We can't force Him, certainly, because He is swatantra, He is independent. But we can make Him inclined to bestow His mercy on us by depending upon how we act. Thank you. Anyone else remember anything from the class? The previous verses? Yes.
The thoughts of my devotees dwell in me. And
yes.
I am always thinking of them.
Yes. The thoughts of my devotees dwell, of Krishna's devotees, they dwell in Him. Why? Because they are devoted to Him. That is love. Anything else before we move on to the next section of verses that we'll look at? Yes?
In verse 11 again, the Lord says that with the shining light of knowledge, He will destroy the ignorant.
Yes, so the first...
That's called the special mercy.
Yes. Tesha meva nakampartam aham agyanajam tama. I remove that Nishyamatmi. Nishyami means I dispel. Usually he's very quiet. Today he's squawking. That's okay, it's okay. If it gets disturbing, I'll let you know. In the first verse, 10:8, does anyone remember that verse? It begins, Savasya. What does it mean? I am the source of everything. Everything in existence, even non-existence, comes from Krishna. Avyakta, vyakta. Unmanifest and manifest. Everything comes from Krishna. And knowing this, Savasya Traham, Aham Savasya Prabhava Matak Savam Prabhartite Iti Madhva. Knowing this, Bhajante Mam Buddha Bhava Samanata. With great love one worships Krishna. In the second verse, Machita Gata Prana Machita Madgata Prana Bodayantas Parasvaraya. This is the activities of a devotee. This is what it means to be actually devoted. Is that the machitta, the consciousness, the mind of a devotee is always dwelling in Krishna, thinking about Krishna. A materialistic person, his mind, we think, in our minds we conceive of that what we are doing is freely choosing our thoughts, but actually our thoughts are controlled by Maya, the modes of material nature. That's true. We are not free in this world. It is very hard for us to accept this fact. We are like puppets in Karputli. Yes? You know, anyone know that Hindi word? Karputli. He's a puppet, a dancing doll. Or in Bengali, putalnach. And the modes of material nature. Can't have a lot of movement right in front. A little bit behind, we don't mind at all. But directly in front, it could be a little distracting. Thank you. Sorry. We're like dancing dolls in the modes of material nature. So one who is so devoted that he thinks of Krishna continuously, then the next two verses describe Krishna's reciprocation with that devotee. First is the Dami Buddhi Yogam Tam. I give them the bhakti by which they can come to me. And then Tesham Evana Kampartam. I remove the ignorance, the obstacles to their development of their Krishna consciousness. Krishna acts from within the heart to do this. This is wonderful. This is why the process of bhakti is far superior to any ascending process such as yoga or jnana. Because there, on those paths, one is ascending, one tries to make advancement in a mechanical way by one's power, according to one's ability. But Krishna, yoga maya samamvita, he is covered by his own yoga maya, and he will not release that covering unless he will not raise that maya jakani vatschanam. He will not raise the covering of Maya unless he so desires to. There is nothing, practically speaking, we can do to pierce that covering or make that curtain of Maya arise. Krishna has to release, he has to pull it up himself. So that was the content of the lesson. So this set of verses that we're going to study now will explain more of what happens when a devotee surrenders to Krishna. What does surrender to Krishna mean? We'll talk about that in these verses, or Krishna talks about it. But it means giving oneself to Him. Krishna will say, Mame kam sharanam braja, saranam, saranagati, a return to our actual natural position in relationship with Krishna, a return to that consciousness. Krishna consciousness. This is the natural Krishna consciousness. This is the natural consciousness of everyone. This is what the consciousness, the situation that we are longing for, that every soul is longing for. So these verses the first one. Let me just go back one and see. And also, yes, there's two parts to this. One is that what results from a devotee's surrender to Krishna, and how does Krishna reciprocate with his devotee? So we're going to read these verses from the final chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the 18th chapter. Maybe someone can use the mouse to just press that little speaker on there, and we'll hear. And we'll hear the verses of these verses sung. It would have been nice to look along. Yeah, it's only the point there. Yeah. This is text 61. Yeah.
Situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities, who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Utterly. By his grace you will attain transcendental peace and a supreme and eternal abode.
These particular verses over here. Now we'll hear them and speak about them one by one. Now in 1861, Krishna sits within the heart, or within everyone's heart, as the Supasoul. He is within everyone's heart. That's the first of these verses here. So I'll read it first, and then everyone can read it after me. Can you see it all right? Okay. Ishvara sarva bhutanam vidyase arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudani mayaya. Everyone, please.
Ishvara sarva bhutanam
Because we know the scene or what is going on in the Bhagavad Gita, that Arjuna first refuses to fight. We all have to make decisions in life, and our decisions are made upon how we perceive reality. But actually, we don't perceive reality because we are tiny and insignificant, and our consciousness only perceives a small part of what is of reality. Clearly, no one knows everything. And yet, we think the little part of reality that we perceive that as reality. We call that reality. And someone else naturally will see the existence as different than we. And we have different opinions, and we'll fight with that person, and we'll argue with that person as if I am right and they are wrong. But everyone has their own viewpoint. Viewpoint means we view the world from a point, but we don't see everything. And the only person who sees everything is Krishna. He is the only one who understands reality. We understand a small portion of reality, and again, to accept that small portion of reality as if it was reality, that is what is called illusion. We have a small perception of the truth, but to think that small perception, as we tend to do, is everything, that is called illusion. So Arjuna's decision not to fight was based on his own viewpoint, his own perception of what is correct and what is incorrect. But Krishna is telling him, the Ishvara. He is that Ishvara. He is actually the Parameshwar, the supreme controller, the supreme knower of reality. He actually knows reality, and he is situated in the heart of everyone. Ishvara sarva bhutanam riddhishehi. He is situated within the heart. Arjuna tishtati. And he is the one, Brahmayan sarva bhutane. He's directing the wanderings because we travel depending upon our desires and our consciousness. When we leave this world, we take a new body. And Krishna directs that. It doesn't happen automatically. Every single thing that exists and goes on in this universe, everything, without an exception, is controlled and sanctioned by Krishna. Nothing works independent of Him. That is the meaning of His being the Absolute Truth. There is nothing in existence that is independent, separate from Him, or working in some way without Him having sanctioned it. Anumanta. He's the Upadrashta Anumanta cha Bhakta Bhakta Maheshwara Paramatmekti Chapyukta Dehesmin. He is Purusha, but He is Purusha Para. He is the Supreme Person within everyone's heart. So Krishna is telling Arjuna that it is I who am directing everything, and you are making your decision based on your limited knowledge, thinking that limited knowledge is all in all, and therefore you know what is best. But I, the Supreme Knower, am telling you something quite different. Because I see reality. I know everything. And therefore, We'll come to the next verse in a few moments. He's saying, therefore you should surrender to me. You should listen to me. Don't follow your own viewpoint, because your viewpoint is very limited. Limited in time, limited in place, and it's usually we think what benefits us is the best thing that could happen. And that is what fortunate is. But we have such a small limit of time. Just like we think of something good that's happened to you. Everyone, think of something good that's happened to you in the last year. Now, so it's very good, and we think about something good happens to us in the last year. We smile and we feel some satisfaction in the heart. And if we thought of something bad that happened to in the last year, by looking at your faces, I could see if you're really thinking of something bad or not, because what you're thinking of affects the face. And then something bad happened. But then, this good and bad, it's really only significant in such a small length of time. If you took up your entire life, say if you took a video of your entire life and sped it up so that the whole, say, from birth to departure from this world, say 80 years, you sped it up so fast that the whole thing passed in 2 minutes. 0 to 80. Just went so fast. So each year would be a minute and a half, perhaps. Is that right? No, 80. Yes. Minute and a half. So, and the good thing that happened would be not a minute and a half, but a second. Second and a half, perhaps. So it's like someone said, raise your hand if you would like to have $1 billion. Of course. We would all like him. You raised your hand so fast. Yeah, very good. Okay, so you'd like to have $1 billion, but if I said to you, you could have $1 billion for a second and a half, what would be the use? You wouldn't even have enough time to smile or what to speak of count it or something like that. What to speak of, look at your list of all the things you want to buy. What to speak of, actually buy something or donate it or something. Unless Nityananda Priya would say, oh, you have it for $1 billion for a second half, and that second half, I give it to Krishna. Give it to Mother Brother. And you already did it. That's good. But, and the bad thing that's happened, or you feel pain or something, but if it's for a second, or half of a second, or a quarter of a second, or an eighth of a second. So compared to a long length of time, not 80 years, but not 80,000 years, and not even 80 million years, but what to speak of eternity, because the soul is eternal. If we consider the good and bad of this world that we experience, our agonies and our ecstasies, in the light of eternity, they are completely, what's the right word? That's the word I was thinking of. Insignificant. They're irrelevant, practically speaking. You're a billionaire for a billionth of a second. It's irrelevant. It's useless. It's meaningless, practically. It's actually meaningless to be a billionaire for a billionth of a second. So that's what one becomes in relationship to eternity, both the suffering and the enjoyment is really insignificant. Hare Bol Sanghanath Prabhu. Sanghanath Prabhu is one of the only persons in this room who saw Srila Prabhupada. So Krishna is telling Arjuna that, as he said in the 15th chapter, Hamsavasya Prabhupada, it is I It is I who am in everyone's heart as the supreme controller. And it is I who am directing the wanderings of all living entities. It is not you who knows what's best. And therefore, you should surrender to me and give up your conception, because it's so limited, your conception of what good and bad actually is. Because you see from your own viewpoint, and I see the entirety of reality. So here, we'll read from some of Prabhupada's purport here. We'll read it all. It's quite short. Arjuna was not the supreme knower, and his decision to fight or not to fight was confined to his limited discretion. What's the Sanskrit word for discretion? Does anyone know? Huh? Sanskrit? Not vivek, discrimination. That's the one I know. Huh? Perhaps. Lord Krishna instructed that the individual is not all in all. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, or He Himself, Krishna, as the localized supersoul, sits in the heart directing the living being. After changing bodies, the living entity forgets his past deeds, but the supersoul, as the knower of the past, present, and future, remains the witness of all his activities. Therefore, all the activities of living entities are directed by this supersoul. We think we are so powerful and independent and I'm able to do this, but practically speaking, I cannot even lift my arm without the supersoul's sanction of that. I have no independent power. The living entity gets what he deserves and is carried by the material body, which is created in the material energy under the direction of the supersoul. As soon as a living entity is placed in a particular type of body, he has to work under the spell of that bodily situation. Thus, like a monkey, he has to jump from branch to branch. He has to eat the leaves of the particular type of trees that he likes. And they have to keep wandering from one tree to the next. And they have to do all the rest of their monkey business. They are forced. And although from their point of view, they think they're choosing to do it, but actually they are being forced by the modes of material nature. The ant, as he runs, and ants are so amazing, aren't they? That one is passing this way and one is passing that way, and they touch each other like that and go on with their duty. And they think, naturally, they think, this is what I'm supposed to do, I'm choosing it. But they're actually being controlled by that ant body, which is supplied by the modes of material nature. And similarly, we are like that too. Even though it doesn't seem like it. To us, we think we're doing everything. But this is our illusion. Ahamkara vimudatma kattaham iti manite. We're thinking that we are the doer, but this is illusion. It is the modes of material nature that are pulling the strings just like we are puppets. And it moves us from one body to the next. And according to how we live our life in this body, we are forcibly put into a next body. None of us said, oh, I want to be born in Brooklyn, New York, at this particular time, under these parents like that. If I would have had my choice, I would have chose differently, not to have this kind of a body, but I would have had this and this and this and this and this. We are forced. We don't choose. It is not going on by our own power. We are forced to take a particular birth in a particular body. We don't choose. We are forced by the modes of nature, ultimately by the supersoul. And then according to that body, we have particular ideas, in the family, we're conditioned in a particular way, we have concepts, and then we're thinking as we go along, I'm choosing to do this, I want to turn left, I want to turn right, but this is just the forcing of the modes of material nature. Yantra Rudhani Maya. As soon as a living entity is placed in a particular type of body, he has to work under the spell of that bodily situation. A person seated in a high-speed motor car goes faster than one seated in a slower car, though the living entities, the drivers, may be the same. Or you can say that the aeroplane, the jet plane pilot, he doesn't have any more power than the person riding a bicycle. But the machine he's on is more powerful. And therefore the difference in speeds. How fast can a jet plane go? Mach 3. And how fast can a bicycle go? You never have someone on a bicycle breaking the sound barrier or anything like that. But the soul is the same. The body has approximately the same power in those cases. But the vehicles, yantra means machine, yantra dani maya. So some person has one kind and another person has another kind of a body. One person can go fast materially, another person can go fast spiritually. This is we're placed in a person. One person can go so slow, they work so hard, they get nothing. One mishap happens after another, they can't achieve anything. Obstacle comes, that obstacle. Another person, it seems like they breeze along, everything comes so easy for them, they're so intelligent, they're good athletes, they know everything, they're handsome, good family. So you see this, especially in India, sometimes you visit a very, very, very pious, wealthy family, and the people are like demigods, practically speaking. So incredible. They're so pious. So, therefore, the conclusion isn't that we should try to get something material and just keep wandering in this cycle of birth and death. The conclusion, ultimately, is we should try to get out, not change from a third-class prison cell to a high-class prison cell. No, we should get out. We should get out of the prison. And therefore, Krishna is saying, Your consideration, or Arjuna, is based on illusion. Rather, you should accept my consideration because I see the totality of reality. I am Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Riddhishe Arjuna Tishtati. So about the drivers may not be the same. Similarly, by the order of the Supreme Soul, material nature fashions a particular type of body to a particular type of living entity so that he may work according to his past desires. The living entity is not independent. One should not think himself independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The individual is always under the Lord's control. Prabhupada said the same thing three times, three sentences in three different ways. The living entity is not independent. We cannot do as we wish. We are limited, controlled by the body, which is ultimately controlled by the supersoul. Second sentence. One should not think himself independent. Excuse me, he's not independent. One should not think himself independent of the personality of God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why shouldn't we think ourselves independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Because we are not independent of Him. And if we were to think something contrary to what is true, we are really an illusion. And then the third sentence, the individual is always under the Lord's control. We have to be under the Lord's control. That's the meaning of the fact that He's the Lord. He controls everyone. He's the Supreme Lord. Not a blade of grass moves without His sanction. So, if we actually and deeply understand this, what is the ramification of this? It's so simple. Three sentences to say the same thing. That means that Prabhupada wants to drive this point home deeply, because the conclusion of this, to understand that we are not independent of Krishna, that we are always dependent on Him, the conclusion is so contrary to how we live our life. And that is the final sentence. Therefore, one's duty is to surrender to Krishna. And that is the injunction of the next verse. And we'll read a short comment by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on this verse. This verse explains the purpose. Oops. Well, there's no comment by Vishwanath. There's a comment by Baladev Vidyabhusana. Seeing Arjuna still seemed to have the false concept of thinking himself the knower and the doer. Don't we think like that? I know. And if, don't we think that if someone has a different opinion that's very different from ours, we tend to think them quite foolish? But it's really because they have a different opinion than us. As if I am the standard, my thoughts are the standard that the whole universe is judged by, whether they're intelligent or foolish. And if someone agrees with us, we say, oh, this person is very intelligent. So this is the tendency of every conditioned soul. So Krishna saw that Arjuna still had some of this concept within him. And because of Arjuna's inability to give that up, the Lord then teaches in a different way in two verses. And this is the first of those two verses here. And here's what he says. This is Baladev Vidyabhusana's explanation. O Arjuna, though you think that your knowledge is your own, you actually know that knowledge only through the Supreme Lord as Antayami. What does Antayami mean? The indwelling super soul, the Lord who sits antar within the heart of everyone. So your knowledge is coming from Him. He gives you a portion of the totality of knowledge, and you can only understand or see as He gives you that. The Lord is situated in the hearts of all beings, from Brahma down to the non-moving creatures. What's an example of a non-moving creature? A tree. A what?
Tree.
What did you say first? The plant? And He makes them wander about by His Shakti, Maya. These living entities are then described. They are mounted on the apparatus characterized by body, senses, and pranas, Yantra Arudhani, constructed by Maya according to their karma. We are seated within these yantras, the body composed of the senses. Which is the biggest sense that we have? Yeah, sometimes, a lot of people, it seems to be nonsense. But it's the skin is the biggest sense. It covers the entirety of our body, the sense of touch. The Lord makes the living entities move about just as a puppeteer mounts artificial beings on wooden devices with strings attached and makes them move about. We are being moved by them. Just try and sit. If you think you are not being moved about, just try and sit here and listen and not move. And you'll see, suddenly you'll just have to go like this and you'll have to go like this. Well, who's moving you? Just decide, from now on I'm not going to move. You decide that no... Get, decide and see if it makes any difference. And you see, what happens with Divyagam. Did you happen to have those papers, those pages? Whoa, okay, better late than never. But better, no, never mind. It's too late. So, you see what I mean? We think, we don't think about this, but we are being moved continuously. Try and not move. You know, even if you say, okay, I'm going to prove him wrong. And you, to some degree, you can do that if you practice very hard for like a half hour, you know, by making your mind very, very still by controlling the breathing. But you'll see your mind. That's like children, when they're sitting in a class like this, for example, their mind moves and therefore their body moves a lot. But we adults, we have mastered how to look like we're here with our bodies by not moving, but our minds are going all over the universe, everything we did and everything, every person we talked to and this and, you know, but it's so hard to not move. So who is moving us? This is the modes of material nature, and they are under Krishna's control. Maya Dakshena Prakriti, Maya Adiaksha, under my supervision. So Krishna is telling this to Arjuna, that we are being moved around. And therefore, the next verse reaches the conclusion. You are just a little knower, and then there is a super knower. Is that the next verse already? We're at 62. No. Yeah, 62 will say, therefore you should surrender to that, to him, that super soul, because he knows everything. And here it is. So I'll read it first. And then, Tameva Sharanam Gacha Savabhavena Bharata Tatprasarat Param Shantim Stanam Prapsyasi Shashvatam. Everyone, please.
Tameva Sharanam Gacha
Tam unto him, eva, certainly, tam eva, sharanam, gacha. You should surrender to him because he's all powerful. It's just natural for the little to place himself under the power of the great. And in what way? The same word that we saw from the 15th chapter, sarva bhavena, in every respect, O Arjuna. You should give yourself to him in every respect. And what will be the result of that? Tat prasarat param shantim. By his mercy, tat prasarat, by his grace, you will attain param shantim. Transcendental or the supreme shantim, peace. This is the way to attain peace. How are you? Taking care of the lordships? Thank you. We're looking for peace. This is the thing that eludes everyone. In Kali Yuga, this is the prime symptom of Kali Yuga. Manda samanda mateo manda abhagya upadurtaha. Everyone's mind is disturbed in Kali Yuga. Everyone. Anxiety of one kind or another, health, money, family, world situation, financial situation, living situation, so much to be in anxiety about. And even if we're not in anxiety, we get in anxiety, oh, I must not be understanding what's going on, you know, I'm not in enough anxiety, I should be worrying about something. The mind does that, really, I should be worrying about something. We feel guilty if we're not worrying all the time. It's our duty in life to worry continuously. But if one places oneself under Krishna, then it's like the child, the young child, he doesn't have anxiety about life, about his finances, about this, about that. It's the parents who have all the anxiety. They just pass. So it's the same thing, actually. Actually, when we surrender and place ourselves under Krishna, we don't have anxiety. But it's easier to speak about this and give very fired up classes about it But this is what we have to apply to our life. Yes, I'm actually under Krishna's protection. He is caring for me. I even though my mind tends to worry, I won't. This is Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness. So, by His grace, one can attain the supreme peace. This is the only way to attain peace in this world, in fact, is to surrender to Krishna, place ourselves under His care. But this has to be done truly and fully. That means there has to be deep, deep faith and great love and a great trust that Krishna is Suridam Sarvabhutanam and He's in everyone's heart. And He actually is the dearmost friend. And that's what it means that He is Ishvara Sarvabhutanam. That He's in everyone's heart. A friend is one who doesn't leave you in any circumstance. Do any of you have, if you were living in a sewer that was filled with the most horrible smells and the horrible things, and living in there, in a sewer, how many of your friends would come and live with you just because they're your friends? Huh? No one will come. But Krishna stays with us in the heart. So therefore He is Suridam Sarvabhutanam. He's our best friend. He always stays with us. And He's just waiting for us to turn to Him. And say, okay, Krishna, I'm not going to continue this independent way anymore. I am yours now. Sharanam gacha. Tam eva saranam gatas sarva bhavena bharata. In all respects I am yours. O Sian. Sian means descendant in the family descendant of Bharata. Surrender unto Him utterly means completely. By His grace you will attain transcendental peace. And stanam prapsyasi shashvatam. Shashvatam means continuous, eternal, non-temporary, eternal, everlasting. That was the word aviyam, like that. And by his grace, by His mercy, tat prasadat, you will attain transcendental peace in the supreme eternal abode. We'll read the short paragraph of Prabhupada's purport. So these two verses really go together. A living entity should therefore surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's in our own interest. It's in our interest. It's not that Krishna is lacking and He's trying to exploit us. He needs more slaves to do what He wants. So therefore, surrender. No. He has unlimited loving servants. Unlimited loving servants who want nothing other than to please Him. It is in our interest that we surrender. So a living entity should therefore surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart, and that will relieve him from all kinds of miseries of this material existence. By such surrender, not only will one be released from all miseries in this life, but at the end he will reach the Supreme God. The transcendental world is described in the Vedic literature, the Rig Veda 122.20 as Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Yata. Since all of creation is the kingdom of God, everything material is actually and ultimately spiritual. But Parama Padam specifically refers to the eternal abode, which is called the spiritual sky or Vaikuntha. This is where one attains, if one lovingly surrenders to Krishna and gives himself to Krishna, one attains the supreme Vaikuntha, Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world. And here we have to struggle so hard, so hard. And we will lose this struggle. We are struggling. When we're young, we have the energy to struggle. The older we get, we lose that energy to struggle and struggle against this relentless material energy. But we cannot win. No one wins in this world. After that big tsunami the year before on December 26th, such a terrible disaster, and people, even religious people, they were in the news many times saying that, you know, I don't know, it's made me doubt, you know, if there is a God, because how could he, 250,000 people or something were killed by that. Quite amazing if you think about it, just like that, boom. But if you think that in 100 years from now, how many people who are alive now will still be alive? So if you want to not believe in God, there's a better reason that no one survives. Well, he kills everyone. Kalosman Lokachaya Kriti, everyone dies. So why pick up this one tsunami and say, I don't believe in him because of that? Well, just look at the whole, look at the history. There's been millions and millions and millions of people who have been killed by his creation. Millions and billions and billions and billions. But that's just those type of a disaster, is a confrontation with reality. But no one likes reality, this part of reality. But yet no one wants to give themselves to Krishna. Because we have our plan from our little 10-year, 20-year, 30-year viewpoint. We have our plan of what's good and what's bad. And we define things, good and bad, according to our very, very small, tiny perception of reality. And we define good and bad. There's a famous little story that goes around that this man had a... probably told this 10 times already. Forgive me if you've already heard it 9 times. This man had a horse in a corral. And the horse ran away. And his neighbor came to him and said, "Oh, very unfortunate, your horse ran away." And he said, very difficult to tell what is fortunate and what is unfortunate. And then in 4 days, the horse came back leading a whole herd of 25, 30, 40 horses back right into his corral. And his neighbor came to him and said, very fortunate that your horse returned with all those other horses. And he said, it's very difficult to tell what is fortunate and unfortunate. And then the horses, the man's son, decided that he was going to tame one of those horses. So he was riding him, and the horse didn't like to be tamed, so the horse bucked and threw him off, and he broke his leg. And the neighbor came and said, very unfortunate that your son broke his leg. And he replied, yes. And then there was a war going on, and the army came by to enlist all the young men. And they said, we heard you have a son. And they said, but he has a broken leg. So they left him. And the neighbor came by and said, very fortunate. And the man replied, it's very difficult. So from our little point of view, we're saying, oh, this is fortunate and this is unfortunate. But even, you know, from one day to the next, we say this is fortunate. And then, but the bigger perspective of 2 weeks, the same thing that is fortunate That's like someone there's a sale on cars, and the price of your car goes down to this much, so you buy it, and then you get in an accident. And it's a fortunate, you just can't tell. So if we surrender to Krishna's concept of good, his vision is actual vision, because he sees reality as it is, because he's God, he's the Supreme Parameshwara. So that's what Krishna is telling Arjuna. It is for your benefit, and thereby, by surrendering to Krishna, you will attain the supreme peace. And then we'll read just these one comment by Vishwanath. This verse explains the purpose of the knowledge just revealed that he is in everyone's heart. The purpose is that you should take shelter of that Lord. You will attain the cessation of vidya and avidya, param shantim, truth, untruth in the material realm. And then you will attain my eternal place, Vaikuntha, shashvatam stanam. This surrender to the antayami is for worshippers of the antarami, paramatma, whereas the worshippers of Bhagavan surrender to Bhagavan, which will be explained later. This is the opinion of some concerning this verse. So there's different ways to understand this verse. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that some people say that this is, if you are a worshipper of the super soul, therefore this verse is for you. And if you worship Bhagavan, then you'll surrender to him, which will be explained later. So Vishwanath doesn't say that that's wrong, but he says some people interpret this, understand this verse in that way. But another devotee will think as follows. Sri Krishna alone is my deity. He alone is my guru. He alone gives me instructions which are beneficial for my bhakti. Therefore, I surrender unto him. Krishna alone is my inner guide, taking the place of the Paramatma. I surrender to him so that he will engage me in actions of bhakti. So that's another way to look at it, that Krishna is in the heart of his devotees. And then he quotes from the Uddhava Gita, the final chapter of the Uddhava Gita, chapter 29, where Uddhava says, O my Lord, transcendental poets and experts in spiritual science could not fully express their indebtedness to you, talking to Krishna himself, even if they were endowed with the prolonged lifetime of Brahma. They could not express how much they owe you, O Lord. Why? For you appear in two features. You, Krishna, my Lord, appear in two features. Externally as the acharya, and internally as the super soul. So that's in Krishna. Within the heart of his devotee, it is Krishna in his devotee's heart. This is another way to see. You appear in two features, externally as the acharya and internally as the super soul, to deliver the embodied living being by directing him how to come to you. That's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. And Baladev's comment, also very short. Therefore, after having heard that Krishna is in everyone's heart, therefore, surrender to that Lord with body, mind, and all other elements, sarva bhavena. Then what happens? You will attain eternal peace, shashvatam stanam, with the absence of all suffering, param shantim. The abode of the Lord, glorified in the Shrutis, is tadvishnu paramam padam. That person, Tam, is none other than I. That person who is in your heart, in everyone's heart, is none other than I. This is Krishna speaking. I, your companion. This has been stated by me before with Savasya Chaham Riddhe Sanavista. I, Krishna, am situated in everyone's heart. Bhagavad Gita 15:15. It has also been stated by you and accepted by the devas and rishis with the statement, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. You, Krishna, are the supreme Brahman and the supreme form. I have also shown that to you directly by manifesting my Vishwarup, universal form. Therefore, having seen this and knowing this, you should remain fixed in my teachings. Because if just an ordinary person on the street says, I will tell you the truth, this, and that, why accept it? But if Krishna himself tells you about himself, we should be fixed in those teachings. That is the point that Krishna is making. And then, I'll just read 63 and then we'll stop here. We won't be able to finish all this. So what does that say? Will you do this? Will you surrender? Deliberate and choose how you will act. Krishna wants Arjuna to fight. After instructing him of the situation, he says, now you have to decide what you're going to do. Because although he's the supreme controller, he allows us free will. So ultimately we have to make some choices in our life, what we actually want. So 63. Thus I have explained to you knowledge still more confidential than knowledge of Brahman. Deliberate on this fully and then do what you wish to do. Prabhupada's purport. Hear the words yata chesati tata kuru, as you like you may act, indicates that God does not interfere with the little independence of the living entity. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has explained in all respects how one can elevate his living condition. The best advice imparted to Arjuna is to surrender unto the Supersoul seated within his heart. By right discrimination, with your proper intelligence, based on what you've heard, one should agree to act according to the order of the Supersoul. That will help one become situated constantly in Krishna consciousness, the highest perfectional stage of human life. Arjuna is being directly ordered by the personality of Godhead to fight. Surrender to the supreme personality of Godhead is in the best interest of the living entities. It is not for the interest of the supreme. If Krishna wanted to kill everyone, he didn't need Arjuna. He would just have to, he has Ichha Shakti. His desire becomes reality. But it is in the interest of Arjuna that he becomes a instrument in fulfilling Krishna's desire. And this is our situation too. If we find out what Krishna wants of us in service, it is not that Krishna is dependent upon us. One way or another, his desire will be fulfilled. Like water. Water must flow downhill. If there is a blockage in one place, it will go around it and go another way. But it will go downhill. It will. It must. Why? Because it's its nature. It must do that. So similarly, Krishna's will, it will be fulfilled. It will happen. But if we can find a place in that and find some service to do to help Krishna fulfill his desire, it is our fortune. Namittikaran Savyasachin, Bhava Savyasachin. This is what Krishna taught, you become an instrument for me. Namittikaran, instrumental cause. Be an instrument, just like this can be an instrument. I push the button and it works, but I am the cause behind it, but it's being instrumental. So if we can somehow do some service for Krishna, we are so fortunate. We are so fortunate. Just almost finished, then I'll call for questions. That will help one become situated constantly in Krishna consciousness, the highest perfectional stage of human life. Arjuna is being directly ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to fight. Surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in the best interest of the living entities. It is not for the interest of the Supreme. Before surrendering, one is free to deliberate on this subject as far as the intelligence goes. That is the best way to accept the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such instruction also comes through the spiritual master, the bona fide representative of Krishna.
Can we have the verse on the screen, please?
Isn't it? Oops, sorry. There it is. I'm sorry. We should read it, shouldn't we? As long as it's there. Iti te gyaramakyatam guyat guyat taramaya vimrisyaita rasheshena yatashasi tatakuru. Everyone, please.
Iti te gyaramakyatam guyat.
Thus, I have explained to you knowledge still more confidential. Previously, early in the chapter, he's explained the process of seeing Brahman. Deliberate on this fully, and then do what you wish to do. Now, the comment by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Very sweet comment. These three groups of six chapters, the Gita, how many chapters? All you IT men? These three groups of six chapters. Very good. 18 chapters. The Gita, the crown jewel of all knowledge, are the box containing the most valuable secret treasure of bhakti. The first six chapters concerning karma are the lower part of the box made of gold. The last six chapters concerning jnana are the lid made of gold and studded with jewels. The middle six chapters rests within the container and the lid and shines with the most excellent jewel of bhakti, more valuable than anything else in the three worlds, since it brings Sri Krishna under control. That is the most amazing thing about bhakti. It is the most powerful thing. It brings even Krishna, that supreme controller who is in everyone's heart, under the control of the devotee. And the two verses, 65 and 66, that consist of 64 syllables, which are like jewels, they are embedded on the lid of the box, the last six chapters, they should be understood to be bhakti's pure servants. So we're going to hear those verses, but not now. We shall hear them in the next class, which is on Friday, and then we'll have the final class later in the week. And then finally, Baladev's comment on 63. Very short comment. The Lord now concludes the scripture. Thus, in the matter just spoken, iti, I've declared to you this knowledge, jnanam, the scripture of the Gita, which is the means of understanding karma, bhakti, and jnana. It is more secret than the scriptures which teach secret mantras. It should be thus kept secret. And after reflecting on this scripture fully, asheshana, do as you wish. The intended meaning is, reviewing this scripture thoroughly, your ignorance will be destroyed and you will be steadfast in my words. If you think about it, what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, it will make you fixed and steadfast in this truth. And that will bring naturally one to the point of surrender. Okay. I was supposed to go to the end, but we didn't. We got halfway there. This is not bad. This is good. It is fortunate that we could not finish the class. The fortune is what? That we can talk about it more next time. Yes. So you had a question?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I have three questions.
Yes.
Can you say Krishna's super soul? Does it, the one that is inside us, is it the subconscious part? Is that the word, the other word that they use for it?
Who is they?
Subconscious mind.
What is the subconscious mind? No one can say what it is. But it is those thoughts which are below the level of consciousness, but that come up now and then, something like that. So that's not the super soul. But the super soul allows those thoughts to come up. He is the controller of that. It seems to me that is more like the totality, like a small portion of the mind is we are conscious of. And there is much more to our karma, to our thoughts that we are conscious of. And which thoughts come up depends upon the super soul. Like you dream at night. What will you dream about? We don't know. You can't control it. But what causes the dream? The Madhvites say that God causes your dreams. Because this is the point. That what comes to the consciousness from the subconscious is that is dictated by the super soul. So the answer is that I'm giving is not that the subconscious mind is the super soul. That is our consciousness. That is part of the citta. But the super soul, he causes the remembrance and forgetfulness in that. He brings things to the surface. He explains that in Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Is that okay?
Yeah. And second question is, how do you correct the police? How do you know you can do that? What is the step?
Yeah, that's explained in the 65th and 66th verse, the process of surrender and what it means to surrender. Will you come for that class? Okay, then I won't tell you. But if you want to read ahead, you can. Especially in the 65th and 66th verse, a few verses ahead, it describes what surrender is. Anukulasya sankalpa patikulasya varjilam richisya titti gotripta gotripte varanam tata atma vichepta karpanye sadvidam saranagati. Those are the 6 points of surrender. Given. Second? Okay. Third? No, okay. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Paul.
In these two words, we are saying, first Krishna is saying that the Supreme Lord is sitting in within the heart, and then he is saying that surrendered unto him. But he is not directly saying that surrender unto me.
Because, yes.
So in saying that surrender unto him, is he referring to the Paramatma, which is different expansion of
the acharyas have explained it in different ways. Some acharyas say, yes, you should surrender to the Paramatma. And then later Krishna is going to speak about the still more confidential truth about surrendering to him. But the devotees see that the Paramatma is actually Krishna for them. So then it comes to the same thing, surrendering to Krishna and surrendering to the Paramatma. That was the verse of Uddhav, saying that you are so kindly, I can never repay you, because you have come in two ways, O Lord. You have come as the Acharya, and you have come as the Super Soul. It is you. But yes, Krishna used third person for that. He doesn't say surrender to me at this point, because he's talking about this.
Chapter also we are saying
Savasya Jaham. Yeah. Yes. but later. But Krishna is going to come right out and say it in the 66th verse with Savadamam Pityaja Mame Kam Sharanam Jaya. Aham Tvam Sava. I. It's a lot of work being a father, isn't it? Yes? But for Krishna, he can do it with no effort. Because he can do everything at once. Any other questions or comments? Yes?
Sometimes when preaching the supremacy of Krishna, people will say, oh, that's your viewpoint. And then they'll say, oh, that's what.
And how do we answer that?
And we say, no, it's actually the viewpoint of Acharyas and the saints.
And Krishna himself.
But then again, you get the same response, oh, but that's just your viewpoint. How do you defeat that?
Defeat? The only ultimate answer is the great Acharyas. Because then they say, well, we say it says it in the Bhagavad Gita, it's not just me. And they say, well, I don't accept the Bhagavad Gita. If someone's going to be like that. And then what do we say? We say, well, so many great persons, great Acharyas, so powerful, so intelligent, so realized, they've accepted this. So why don't you learn something from these great people? You're not great, you're tiny and insignificant. So you should learn from these great people. And the way you learn from great people is listening to them. When you go to the university, you listen to your teachers. And who benefits? You do, because you're taking advantage of their vast knowledge. But you can't convince someone who doesn't want to be, certainly. But we talk to the people who have some interest. Some people just don't have the adhikar. You tired? Yeah. Raise your hand if you're tired after a hard day's work. Yeah. Okay. We should let you go then. Okay. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakti Mandir.